The first one is very broad, and that is the implications of a participatory economic vision and mindset or consciousness for the way we understand class conflict. Class conflict is obviously important to strategy. A lot of what strategy is about is identifying the constituencies who are going to make change and figuring out what it is that will strengthen those constituencies and empower those constituencies to such a point that they will be able to push through the changes that they desire. It isn't just the case that as activists concerned about creating a humane economy, all we have to think in terms of is two classes, those who own the means of production, capitalists, and those who work, workers. It's not the case that the only thing that's going on during the course of a strategic effort to make a better economy is a conflict between those two classes. Rather, class conflict involves a third class as well. Even under capitalism, even right now, it involves what we call the coordinator class. And one can imagine thinking about strategy and thinking only in terms of workers or capitalists, or thinking about strategy and thinking in terms of all three classes. And the principal reason that you need to think about it in terms of all three classes is because all three of those groups can elaborate an economy in their own interest. We believe that workers elaborating an economy in their own interest is participatory economics, that the coordinator class elaborating an economy in its own interest is either market or centrally planned coordinatorism. Is there any reason why a political movement that's for a better economy and a better society shouldn't be talking about the incomes of lawyers or doctors as well as capitalists who own the means of production, or managers, or baseball players, or movie stars, or whatever?
Right. Sometimes,
and you know, when you talk to the public, when you actually have interactions with working people and working people talk to each other, the sensitivity about these issues is very, very strong. In fact, for most working people, there's more overt class consciousness and awareness of this other group, this coordinator class, than there is of capitalists. Because capitalists are very rarely encountered in life. But this other set of people is encountered often in life. One encounters one's doctor, one's lawyer, people who administer one at work.
In sports, it's very stark. If you talk to working class men who are interested in sports, there's a tremendous interest that many working class men have in sports. They are more often incensed and outraged at the high salaries of the baseball players, the basketball players. People will say, "Well, I used to go to ball games. I don't even go anymore. I don't even want to watch anymore. I'm just so upset at the incredible amount of money that these ball players are making." Now, one response is, and a traditional left response from unions is, "Well, you know, you've had the wool pulled over your eyes. Have you looked at the owners?
Right.
I mean, do you know what the owners are getting? And, you know, you think twice before you support the owners in the next baseball strike." And we're suggesting that's not really the right response.
It's not that the owners don't deserve support.
It's not that it's not true, but that's right. But it's not the case that an equitable and fair economy would, in fact, permit baseball players to have the kind of salaries that they do now, while at the same time we have kids who can't even have lunch money for school.
One could imagine a movement of people who are concerned with participatory economics doing a study of income distribution and of the relative wealth of capitalists, and publicizing this and discussing how there's no moral, ethical, economic, efficiency, or any other justification for people owning the gargantuan wealth, and there ought to be redistribution of wealth. But I can imagine also a study which says, here's the number of lawyers there are in the United States. Here's what their relative income, what their average income is. Here's the part of the U.S. economy that's going to this kind of activity. Who is this kind of activity serving? What is it that causes these people to get this high of an income? What is it that enables them to have a monopoly on all these legal bits of knowledge and to treat us all like we're idiots and we have, you know, no right to do anything except kowtow to their instructions? Same with doctors, same with engineers, and so on. I can understand that kind of sentiment, too. Now, for a movement to have those attitudes, it has to make somewhat of a break with aspiring to be like the coordinator class. I think that capitalists do understand that workers have a considerable resentment for this coordinator class. There's also the irony, of course, that most working class parents want their kids to escape the working class into the coordinator class. So it's a very ambivalent kind of a situation. Perhaps we should make one thing clear. Insofar as a left advocates market coordinatorism or centrally planned coordinatorism or identifies with the Soviet Union, there's every reason for the American working class, or for the French working class, or the Italian working class, or the working class in any other country, including third world countries, to think to itself, wait a minute, this movement is aspiring to a system in which the people who I actually find most odious, right, the people who irk me the most, the elite, effete snobs who treat me as if I'm a fool, they want to put those people on top. So there's a powerful message here, I think, from participatory economic perspective and vision for strategic thinking.